Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house on this beautiful Sunday morning. So folks, you know it's been a hot week when the weather forecast for the day says a refreshing high of 89 degrees. I really heard that last night on TV. If you haven't already done so, please sign an attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors. And if you're a first-time visitor to Berea Christian Church this morning, we'd like to say a special word of welcome to you. And we'd like to share a small gift with you, which we'll bring to you where you're seated. If you just kind of quickly raise a hand to let us know where we can find you. Any first-time visitors, please raise your hand. All right. Awesome. Good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Lana, right up here, too. Raise your hand again real quick so Lana can see. There we go. All right. If anybody would like some additional information about our congregation and ministries, there's a little tan-colored information page inside the bulletin that you can fill out and place in the offering tray later in this morning service. Please note the bulletin insert sharing information about Vacation Bible School, which will be here in two more weeks at Berea, beginning the week of July 23rd. We're encouraging you to please register your children by calling a church office. We can also welcome your assistance as a volunteer or helping with snacks. There's plenty of roles to be filled. Talk with myself or Anna Ekrit about that if you'd like to do so. And if you play your cards right, you might get a cool hat too. So keep that in mind. All right. Please note that the men are welcoming the women of the church to share in their next gathering of men, which will be on Thursday, July 19th. Not this week, but the following Thursday. And at that time, Heather Schuler, who is the social worker at our nearby Pathfinder School, will be our guest speaker, as we'll learn about some special ways, yet easy ways, for us to assist with the needs of the children at Pathfinder School. There's more information about that in the bulletin announcement page, but please mark your calendars for Thursday, July 19th. Also note that July is our month to collect school supplies for our neighborhood children that will be distributed through the Northland Assistance Center. There's items that are needed are listed inside the bulletin announcement page, and there's a collection box back in the foyer. We're grateful this morning for Neil Long's assistance in worship and his contribution to our special music. As Andrew is out on vacation, Neil's been with us before, and it's good to see him here again. So thank you, Neil, for your presence this morning. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right. I'd like to invite Neil to come and lead us in our call to worship.
Please join in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin. Praise the Lord. I will sing praise to him as long as I live.
We will
the opening hymn this morning is Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, found on page 66 in your hymnal, and we'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, hymn 66.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Thou reignest in glory, thou dwellest in light. Thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praises we render, oh help us to see that only the splendor of light hideth thee.
May we bow in a moment of prayer. Loving God, it is with thankful hearts we gather in this space this morning. We are thankful, as always, for the freedoms we have as citizens to worship in the ways we choose. We are thankful for each and every one of our leaders and workers that enable our worship each Sunday. And we give thanks for the presence of the Holy Spirit, as represented by the Christ candle that was just lit by George. We welcome your presence now, O Lord, as we begin our worship service together. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. And at this time, we'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the song from page 511, Strong, Gentle Children.
Strong, gentle children, God made you beautiful. Gave you the wisdom and power you need. Speak in the stillness, all you are longing for. Live out your calling to love and to lead.
Good morning. Any other little ones? Come on up. Come on. I'm looking at one. I barely got her up here last week. Okay. Well, how many of you were here last Sunday with me? Nobody? Okay. Well, we celebrated the 4th of July, and then on Wednesday we celebrated the 4th of July, and what does that represent to you? Anybody? Freedom? Yes. Okay, very good. God and Jesus, all right. I have asked that one of our Girl Scouts hold for us the American flag. And the American flag represents America. It is a symbol of our nation. It tells us some of the history of our nation. For example, do you have any idea how many red and white stripes there are? 13. Very good, George. All right. And then how many stars? 50. All right, George, you're right there with me. And it is this flag and what it represents to us that I thought we would do something slightly different today. What is on my chest? Huh? The pledge to the flag, okay? It says, I, all right, meaning me, one, yeah, and then I pledge, I promise, okay? How many of you have ever seen Red Skelton do the pledge to the flag? Yes, okay. And I'm not going to go through that today, but basically, whenever we say I, we're talking about ourselves. And then I promise allegiance to this flag. Of what nation? The United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands. one nation. Okay, there was a time when we were two nations, and we had a big, horrible war about that. But then we reunited. And then, one nation under God. Because the founding of the United States was not to seek gold or silver or anything like that that we see in Central and South America, but it was to worship God. Remember the Pilgrims? They came here seeking freedom. Remember the Quakers? They came seeking freedom. And even the Catholics came seeking freedom and establishing their own place. And it is because of that foundation of this country that I think we see the difference between America and Central and South America. Everyone in South and Central America are breaking down our borders, aren't they? They want to be here and to have what we have, because a lot of them don't even have a roof over their head or a bed. God has blessed this nation. And so this morning, would you all stand and join me as we repeat the pledge to our flag this morning? Okay? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You can put it up, and then I've got something.
Thank you, Alan. As we have the opportunity to go to God in prayer this morning, Jim would certainly like for us to remember the family of Jeremiah Stewart. He was one of the teens killed in gun violence at 36th and Wabash a few weeks ago, and was one of Jim's clients for a number of years. He leaves behind his mother and father and several brothers and sisters. Also, we want to lift up the Jacobo family. We didn't have as many of our children here for the children's message because the Jacobo family is dealing with a rather significant virus making its way through the family. And when you've got a family that big, that takes a while, doesn't it? So please keep them in your prayers. Elizabeth Carroll has been home dealing with some significant pain issues, so please remember her day to day. And we want to lift up Jackie and Bob Rockhold, as Jackie has been down in Lafayette, Louisiana. She had a rather significant back surgery this past week, but making good progress. We lift up Sue Effie's brother, Kenneth Gibson. He lives in Houston, Missouri, and Sue's been spending a good deal of time down there as Kenneth lost his wife, Linda, a few weeks ago. We want to remember Klaus Stark's mother, Hannah Stark. And we lift up Dan Carlisle as he is now making preparations for chemo and radiation therapy, right, Juanita? And I think that's going to be coming about here in the near future. So we're encouraged by the progress Dan is making so far. We also lift up Sheila Killian with the lung concerns she's dealing with, John and Dorinda Hoke with the treatments for cancer that John is undergoing. Freddie Nichols has been recovering at home from a recent fall. And we also want to lift up Luella Scott's daughter, Joellen Foreman, as she's had to start chemotherapy again. So we certainly want to remember her, Luella. God bless you all. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence for a time of prayer this morning. Merciful and loving God, we realize it is always a privilege for us to gather in your house to offer you praise and worship. For the opportunity to lift up our petitions before your presence, we give thanks. As the scriptures remind us in the book of Philippians that we are not to be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we are given the opportunity to present our requests before you. Thus, we have lifted up the names of many people dear to us as we seek your healing presence for the concerns that prevail in their lives, and even for the many whose troubles may not be observed by the casual eye. We know, O God, that you know the concerns of all of your children, and it is your desire to offer hope and healing. As we realize our nation has endured significant extreme weather patterns in recent months, from damaging fires and torrential rains and ongoing drought conditions, we realize that the natural world around us is indeed experiencing significant levels of distress that may indeed have a big impact on the crops with which we depend. In the midst of these and other challenges, though, we seek your assurances. For as Jesus spoke to us in Matthew chapter 6, "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall I eat or what shall I drink?' For your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." May it be with assurance that we claim the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 4, as he says, "And my God will supply every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." We claim your assurances in truth, O God, as we recite the prayer our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Phil, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
You may find the morning scripture in your pew Bible on page 895 and 96. It is Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 13 through 18. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." This is part of the story of God as told by the people of God.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when been a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace a greater debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. For thy courts above.
All of us in the Kansas City area are certainly getting a visual, if not a personal experience, about how the natural world responds when there's a lack of rain, right? Don't have to drive very far. I cannot help but wonder how our crops are doing in the surrounding area. It's one thing to have the inconvenience of a brown yard, but another when you're striving to grow corn or wheat or other crops. All living things are certainly dependent upon life-giving and life-sustaining waters. Certainly we are ourselves as well, as the human body is 60% water. And with the land of Israel being a semi-arid to extremely arid part of the world, it's little wonder then that the Bible is filled with many images of life-giving waters. And as Jesus was drawn to the well in the Samaritan town of Sychar after walking some distance, it's little wonder that he asked the Samaritan woman if she would draw water from the well for him to drink. For indeed, he had no bucket himself or rope, and certainly had no thermos. And as the two of them struck up a conversation, Jesus explained that he was indeed the Savior, through whom the living waters of eternal life would be made available. As Jesus said in John chapter 4, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So even as the drought conditions seem to prevail outside, as we gather around the Lord's table, we recognize that in Christ we are given the life-living waters of eternal life. And for this, we offer praise and thanksgiving as we turn to our communion hymn. It's number 579, "Standing in the Need of Prayer," as we sing stanzas 1 and 3, please.
It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my father, but my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my father, not my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
As we gather at the Lord's table, let us again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Lana leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before this table, our hearts are so grateful for this gift of forever life with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. As we take these emblems, let us daily be reminded of that greatest sacrifice ever, the greatest gift ever, and help us to go forth in this world and project and tell others about who you are, what you are, and the love that you have for all of us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. We give in faith, realizing that God always desires to offer us a plenty so that we may be privileged to benefit others. As Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." We consider these thoughts as Michelle leads us in a word of prayer, and we receive our tithes and offerings this morning. Michelle?
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, please bless these gifts and the givers, and as we bring our offerings to this table, may we be ever mindful of the many blessings we receive each day through faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Lord God, we pray that this offering is used for your glorious purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Excuse me, Michelle. May we have a word of prayer. Merciful God, we are indeed grateful for the privilege to be in your house and to know that as we focus our attention on your wisdom, we truly can be blessed with an understanding about how we can proceed with our lives in ways that bring glory to you and benefit to others. It's in the name of Christ that we give thanks. Amen. Well, it was 60 years ago, and I know that because it's the same year that I was born, 1958. 60 years ago that John Kenneth Galbraith was credited with creating the phrase conventional wisdom. In fact, maybe you found yourself even using that phrase from time to time when you'll say, "Now, conventional wisdom tells us that," right? And it is, of course, defined as an accepted truth about something for which nearly most folks would not argue as being, incorrect. That most folks would agree that that is the way to either think or to be or how something is the norm, if you will. Now, conventional wisdom in about that same time period, however, declared among physicians was that smoking was, what, not particularly harmful to your health. Now, a few years kind of determined that was not necessarily the case, of course. And, of course, conventional wisdom a few centuries ago said that, well, the earth was flat, or that the earth was the center of the universe, or that humans would never be able to fly above the earth and certainly never be able to go to the moon, right? Conventional wisdom said that a man would suffer fatal injuries if that person experienced more than 18 G-forces in any kind of aerospace vehicle. However, it was Colonel John Stapp, a flight surgeon in the Army Air Corps from Brownwood, Texas, who shattered that notion by repeatedly withstanding 46 G-forces. I just can't imagine how that would feel. But he did, in fact, survive that back in the 1940s. Now, to kind of bring us back into our own time period, and I must admit that our weather conditions of the last few weeks got me to thinking about this notion, so I thought it seemed to be appropriate for our time period here as we're suffering through these drought conditions here in Kansas City. By the way, this hot, humid, dry weather you've been having, I thought I left it. But it was only when I lived in the Gulf Coast of Texas that I realized that you can be in a drought and yet have everything around you rust. It didn't make any sense. How could stuff, the metal around you, rot away while there's no rain? Well, all that heavy, this old heavy, soppy humidity we've been having. Now, some of you know what that's like because you've been to places where that's the norm, but it's not supposed to be the norm in Kansas City, is it? I hope not, because I was trying to leave all that. But, you know, back in the 1870s and 80s, as the Great Plains were being settled after the completion of the Transcontinental Railroad, railroad companies were desperate to get the thousands of acres of right-of-way land that they had on both the north and south sides of the rail lines sold off. It was land that had been given to them by the government. And an amateur scientist and author named Charles Dana Wilbur wrote God Speed the Plow. By this wonderful, wonderful provision, which is only man's mastery over nature, the clouds are dispensing copious rains. The plow is the instrument which separates civilization from savagery and converts a desert into a farm and garden. To be more precise, and he coined the phrase, rain follows the what? Anybody remember? Rain follows the plow. Any of you heard that phrase before? Now that's interesting because of the early service, some have. Some of you have heard it. Rain follows the plow was a phrase that just permeated the media in this time period. And with the help of the railroads and with one of the largest advertising campaigns in American history, the state of Nebraska began to promote the conventional wisdom that rain follows the plow. It was also promoted by the distinguished Cyrus Thomas, a noted climatologist, Ferdinand Hayden, a noted geographer who had actually helped to explore and survey the Rocky Mountains, so certainly somebody with some level of credibility, you might think, right? And, of course, there was Samuel Augie, a professor at the University of Nebraska, certainly with those three people with their distinguished careers and various trades and understanding, surely they understand what's really the truth, right? The conventional wisdom of the day was promoting the notion that plowing of the soil exposed the soil's moisture to the sky. Newly planted trees and shrubs increased rainfall as well, as did smoke from the trains and even the metal in the rails and telegraph lines. Increased vibrations in the atmosphere due to human activity created additional clouds from which rain would fall. And this led to even using dynamite in the sky to see that it would help to promote rainfall. Thousands upon thousands of European immigrants came by the train loads and began to settle out in those various portions of the Great Plains along the rail lines. In fact, in Nebraska alone, 21 counties along that east-west route had their highest population numbers back in the 1800s, the late 1800s. And in fact, through the 1870s and 80s, phenomenal harvests were produced in some portions of the Plain States. But in just a couple of decades, it all dried up. It was discovered that the better than average rainfall rates of the 1870s and 80s were but a fluke of nature. And thousands of families in the Dakotas, Nebraska, Colorado, and Kansas, and other parts of the plains lost everything and had to move elsewhere. Because that which had been touted as conventional wisdom, rain follows the plow, did what? It dried up. In Jesus' day, the conventional wisdom of many Jewish people was that the Messiah would indeed come, but that he would come as a king and free the Jewish people from the tyranny of Roman rule. He would be victorious riding on a horse. And yet we know on Lambing Day, what we call now Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into town on what? A donkey, a symbol of peace. In so many ways, Jesus was not what conventional wisdom said the Messiah would be. As Jesus declared in John chapter 14, "Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give. I don't give it as the world does." From the text that Phil read to you earlier in the service here, Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" Now, conventional wisdom in this time had many people believing that he was John the Baptist. Others were saying that he was Elijah. Others were saying Jeremiah or maybe some other prophet. But Jesus pinpointed his disciples, not willing to just let them rest on the notion of conventional wisdom. He says, "Yeah, but you, who do you say that I am?" And it was Simon Peter who had the courage to go against the conventional wisdom of the time and boldly proclaim, "I know, you're the Christ. You are the Son of God. Truly, the real Messiah we've been seeking after." And to this then, Jesus said to Simon, "Good for you, Simon, son of John, for this truth did not come to you from any human being, but was given to you directly by my Father in heaven." In other words, you're blessed with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Simon Peter. And even Jesus, before he goes into that Garden of Gethsemane, while he was still there at the table, after having shared the Lord's Supper, Jesus says to his disciples, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring your remembrance to all that I have said to you." In other words, don't rely upon conventional wisdom, rely upon the guidance of the Spirit. And you know, as people of faith, for you and I today, we must ask ourselves as we journey through our lives day to day, how are we being guided? Are we being guided by that which is considered to be conventional wisdom? Or are we being led by the wisdom of God? Several years ago, when I still lived in Dallas, there was an article in the Dallas Morning News concerning a particular moral issue. And in the article, a pastor of a church there in the Metroplex said,
to the media, well, 2,000 people can't be wrong. In other words, he's saying, this is the way my congregation believes. Surely if 2,000 people believe this way, then it ought to be the truth. And as I read that article, I thought, what's that? How did he get that kind of reasoning? And I kind of did the math. You know, 2,000 people out of a population base of 5 million, which is what it was then. By the way, it's now 6.5 million. I knew there was a reason to leave that area. Just so big. But at 5 million people, 2,000 people is 0.0004% of the population. Yeah, even 2,000 people can be wrong about something. It really is true. So many times we are led by whatever the media tells us, and somehow we think that's true. Or by what seems to be the general knowledge of the neighbors, and we think that's okay. But as people of faith, we are challenged every day to stand up as did Simon Peter, and to know the truth that is ours through the guidance of God's holy word, and by what we believe we have in the example of Christ's life. Therein lies the wisdom of God's ways. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with the 18th verse, the text says, no one should fool himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise by the world's standards, he should become a fool in order to be really wise, Paul says. For what the world considers to be wisdom is nonsense in God's sight. As the scripture says, God traps the wise in their cleverness. And other scriptures say, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise are worthless. No one should boast about what men can do. Yeah, you know, in conventional wisdom today, there are many people who are thinking, oh, God doesn't really exist. You know, religion is all man-made business here. We've just been following it for all too long. Yeah, that's the conventional wisdom of some. But we are challenged to follow the wisdom of God. Do you know Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? If he's not your Savior, maybe today is your day to come forward and make that confession of faith that I know will change your life. Or maybe today is the day for you to come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 552, Standing on the Promises. May we stand and sing verses 1 and 4 of 552, please.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. We do want to remind you we have lunch right after the service in the fellowship hall below us. Hope that you'll stay. You don't want to get out in that 90-degree weather anyway, do you, just yet, right? So I hope you'll stay and join us for a time of fellowship. May we bow our heads in prayer. Merciful and holy God, we give thanks for the privilege to lean upon your wisdom and know that through your wisdom and understanding, we can find assurance, peace, and direction as we journey forward with the new week. For this we give thanks as we depart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. Expressions on each face, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with blessings. We turn our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been